are. It's the first Lullabot Drupal podcast, and I'm Jeff Robbins.
And I'm Matt Westgate.
And this is it. This is the podcast. We've talked about this for a couple of weeks now. We said, you know, we ought to do a podcast, and we are.
Yeah, it's time to live up to it.
Yep. And, well, we'll see how it goes. We'll, you know, we'll have an evaluation at the end. Let's see. What are the things that that I wanted to talk about, that we wanted to talk about? First of all, it seems appropriate to give a little intro to Lullabot, who we are and what we do, at the beginning of all this. We are Jeff Robbins and Matt Westgate. And we are Drupal developer people who well, let's see. Matt, why don't you start by introducing yourself and tell a little bit about how you got involved with the Drupal project.
Sure. I've been working on the Drupal project for about 3 years now. I probably got involved with the project like most of the other developers. Usually we start off concocting and brewing our own home systems for content management, and eventually we realize that we've created this behemoth that is no longer maintainable. So we start looking around for other solutions, and that's how I came across Drupal. And since then, I guess I'm mostly known for creating the e-commerce package, which is something we could touch base on a little bit, the roadmap and where that's going. And then I met Jeff Robbins, and we seemed to get along pretty well, at least long enough to do a podcast together and have a consulting business. And so, yeah, here we are now. We're trying to get the word out on Drupal, and trying to provide education and consulting related resources for Drupal clients and the community as well.
All true. myself, my name's Jeff Robbins. I have a background with various things, doing various things, as you can read on my bio on the Lullabot website. But I got involved with Drupal a little over a year ago, probably almost a year and a half ago. I'm friends with Jeff Veen, who's sort of a pundit around all of this. He works at Adaptive Path, and I got offered I'd been doing some projects for people, building blog sites for them, and I got offered another project that seemed to be sort of a blog plus, and needed a lot more. And I thought, well, with all the great blogging tools out there, there's probably some really great content management tools out there that just sort of, you know, I mean, what's a blogging tool is a content management system very, you know, specific to a blog. And it seemed like, you know, why weren't people making content management systems, you know, complete systems? And so I talked to him a little bit about the research that I'd done and stuff, and expected him to have the answer and tell me what to do. And he really didn't have the answer. He ended up posting a thing on his blog about our conversation that actually prompted a really long discussion on his blog, some of the Drupal developers were in there talking up their stuff, and so that was sort of where I kind of started finding out about Drupal. And and then as I started looking more into Drupal, it seemed like that the project was being done in the quote-unquote right way. I ended up scoping out that project, speccing out that project with Drupal. And Matt was one of the people that I brought in pretty early on to kind of explain to me and get me up to speed with Drupal. And now, basically, Lullabot is a company where we can get other people up to speed with Drupal, because it took me about a good solid year and a half to get to where we are now. it's just a, it's a tough wall to get over. And with some of the new stuff that's been introduced into Drupal recently, it's getting even tougher with some things. We can touch on that too. And so we're hoping to be sort of a place that people can come to find out about what's going on with Drupal, what's new with Drupal, and kind of what's cool out there without having to sort of get barraged by all of the millions of voices of all of the developers and all of the people that are working on Drupal, which is also getting exponentially bigger as time goes by. So there's definitely a lot of voices out there, and everybody who puts out a module thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So we hope
only to find later that it's already existed, just under a different name.
Yeah. So you know, we're hoping to be, point people for filtering some of that information, and also, you know, keeping up with what's going on and having this podcast and letting people know what's new and what's going on. To that end, let's talk a little bit about what's new and what's going on with Drupal. Matt, you just did a video podcast, a video cast, a video tutorial showing people about installing 4.7, which is the beta release of Drupal right now, and you're working on one explaining all of the exciting new features. What are some of those new features?
Well, the biggest thing that's really exciting for me is that Drupal has been ajaxified, which means resizable text areas. Any text area in Drupal can now be resized just by grabbing it with your mouse at the bottom right corner and resizing it to make it bigger or smaller. That's been a feature that's been requested quite a bit, and it exists in other content management systems as well. So it's nice to see that land in Drupal. I know Dries is really excited about that. Or one of the other Ajax features that is really neat is the form field auto-completion. So, for example, say you're creating a new piece of content and you want to change the author. You can start typing the author's username, and you'll get a drop-down list automatically of, say, all the names that begin with A, and it allows you to choose. It makes it less error prone to change the author of a piece of content.
It's like having an infinite pull down list, which completes as you start typing things in. So if you need to enter a username, for instance, and you have 40,000 users on your site, as you start typing in a username, it'll show you all the users that match those letters that you've started typing in. It's very cool stuff.
Yeah, it's a wonderful idea. You'll also see some Ajax in a couple other places. We have on the update, when you upgrade or update your Drupal site, it used to just churn away and run through the process. Now you get a nice little a progress bar.
Yeah.
And it'll let you know how far you are to finishing the upgrade process. And you'll see that same feature when you add files to pieces of content now. Previously, the form had to refresh. Now it will automatically attach to your piece of content without needing to leave that page. It's a really handy feature.
Yeah, that's particularly cool because you can, for instance, upload an image that you want to include in the content of your post. So it'll upload it and give you the URL for what to put in the image tag. So you can format your image tag and know the URL without having to refresh the page. Pretty cool
and
stuff.
And what's even cooler is that it automatically creates an RSS feed with that file. So, for example, that's how we're doing our video casts and podcasts on the Lullabot site. All we do is upload these files to a piece of content, and the first file that is checked off to be listed will be included in your RSS feed.
It's true. That's,
it couldn't be easier.
Yep. Built-in podcasting with Drupal. It's handy dandy. Good stuff. What else? Anything? Any other exciting? I mean, there's lots of. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the core changes from a developer standpoint. These things. One of the goals with Lullabot, I think, is to sort of get Drupal to a point where people don't necessarily need to be hardcore developers to get it installed and use it. Drupal is sort of expanding out in two directions, one direction being able to do more, and the other direction, and it's moving a little bit slower in this direction, is sort of doing less or being simpler. A lot of the blog tools out there are really, really easy to install. They have an automatic installer. Drupal's sort of moving in that direction. We're not quite there yet. So for those of you that aren't savvy about, MySQL, or SQL database installation stuff in particular, which I definitely was not when I started this. I still kind of cringe when I have to do SQL stuff at the command line. I don't like that. But there's some good tutorials out there, and certainly Matt shows you some of that stuff too.
For 4.7, the developers have definitely taken the install process in mind. What you'll see instead of the install process is you'll see that the upgrade process is easier now. So we're starting with the upgrade, and then 4.8 will probably feature more of the install process. But now, in order to upgrade your contributed modules, you use the same update PHP script that you use for maintaining the rest of your Drupal site. So now contributed modules can hook into that, and when you go to the update page, you'll see here's the core module updates, and here's contributed module updates, and you can update that all with one click of a button.
Right, right.
So we're getting there. The development team is definitely conscientious of that, of making the install process easier.
Right. And I think a lot of this stuff, there's as I say, I mean, Drupal is really growing exponentially. It's really sort of an exciting time, there's Drupal conferences happening, which is a great chance for developers to get together face-to-face and talk about some of this stuff. Sometimes the IRC chat rooms or the, mailing lists aren't necessarily a good place to kind of, feel the energy of what people are excited about. So it'll be neat. There's one next month that both Matt and I are going to be at, and we're leading a couple of panels, discussions. What are they? They're group talk things. We're still trying to figure out what they are, but it's in Vancouver next month, yep. February, February, what do we have dates? 7th through the 9th?
7th through the 9th. Yeah.
You can find information about that at Drupal.org. I'm leading an Ajax talk. And Matt is leading,
Actions and workflow session with John Van Dyke, which those are two contributed modules that we would like to get some variation of or some component of into core eventually.
Yeah, I think that those are really interesting and powerful. I mean, obviously Ajax is sort of hyped up, but I think the actions and workflow stuff, I think people don't quite understand what that is. But it's really powerful stuff. So that should be a good one.
Yeah. What we want to see get into core is, you may be familiar with the content form of Drupal. You have that little, group of radio boxes or check boxes there that says node options, and it says published or static or create revisions. Basically, what we want to do is get rid of that and make that into a workflow type system, where you as the site editor could create new workflows on the fly. So not just published, but maybe in queue. Maybe you want to have an in queue option. So the ability to create new workflow states there and then assign actions to them. For example, when the workflow changes to in queue, maybe send an email out to three different people letting them know that they can come to the site and help moderate that piece of content. So that's where we're trying to go with that.
Cool. That's neat.
So it'll be a great session.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Vancouver. It's been a while since I've seen Team Drupal.
Yeah. let's talk a little bit about the new form API. I think some
Do we have to?
I know. It's
No, it's great. It's great. I love it.
It's really, really powerful, but also it's something to, for developers who are converting their well, let's see. Where should we even start with this? Basically, the entire way that Drupal deals with forms has changed drastically between 4.6 and 4.7. And the new API, it's really, really powerful that basically all forms now are an array that can get manipulated at any point in the process. So forms can be rearranged and new information can get stuck into them. It's really, really powerful as I'm starting to develop some new stuff. I'm finding just options that I hadn't even considered before. I'm doing work with the prototype Ajax library right now, building a prototype module that'll bring in some functions. And for instance, I'm able to create a custom form element type, whereas in the past there were types like text area or checkboxes or any of that kind of stuff. Now I can make a form element that I'm calling sortable. And what it makes is a list of items that you can then sort using Ajax, drag around, and they'll get submitted and parsed as if they were just a single form element, if they were checkboxes or something like that. But it's a whole different world, and we hope to help people understand it. One of the things that I did when I first started familiarizing myself with the new form API was I created a module called Form Updater module that allows you to drop in your 4.6 code, and it will spit out 4.7 code snippets that you can then kind of drop in, and it doesn't give you your whole module redone, but it definitely is a good starting point for that. People have appreciated that. So if you're looking at moving from 4.6 to 4.7, you might want to find the Form Updater module, which is actually installed on lullabot.com, our website, which we should mention. lullabot.com. And you can just use it right there without actually needing to install it on your own site. Anything else you want to say about the Forms API, Matt? I know we've chagrined about it in the past. It can be frustrating. I spent a good 3 or 4 hours yesterday or last week trying to get some checkboxes to work. I just remember thinking, this is ridiculous. I'm just trying to read in checkboxes. It's like Web 101, you know?
Yeah. They're still trying to get some bugs worked out before the final release. What else can you do with the Form API? Did we touch base on how it lets you control or grab all the form elements and twist them around and turn them so that it gives theme designers complete control over how themes are or how forms are laid out on a site.
Yeah. Which is really cool because one of the things when I first started using Drupal, I found that the form system was very kind of rigid. For instance, formatting a form so that you had first name and last name on the same line was something that Drupal didn't seem to be very happy about. You know, it was kind of frustrating to try and get those on the same line. And now it's easier to manipulate all that stuff pretty much in any way you want.
Yeah, and it also provides more security, too. There's built-in validation routines into the Forms API system. So, for example, if you're checking the integrity of a field that is integer based or just a number. That's built into the forms API, or you can just call back into that rather than having to create your own integer validation routine. So it does that and also helps prevent against cross-site scripting attacks.
Yeah, that's cool stuff.
And do we have any documentation to point them to?
I'm sure that there is some. Certainly start with the Drupal handbook under the module developers section in the handbook area of the Drupal.org site.
Under updating your modules.
Yeah.
Actually, here's the URL. It's drupal.org/node/33338.
Well,
that's a lot of nodes.
That's easy to remember. Let's talk a little bit about some sort of Drupal culture for people new to Drupal and sort of how it works. I mean, how do you get involved in Drupal and what can people do to help? Or should they feel like they need to help? And I'll start off by answering that one and say yes. That Drupal is free open source software. And basically, there are a couple prices that you pay for free software. And one of them is that you're sort of under obligation to contribute back to the project, whether it's just when you find a bug or you're frustrated with something or you know, whatever you have that you can give, it's really helpful because a lot of the people who are working on the project are doing so for free. They're volunteering their time, or they're doing it as an adjunct to other work that they do, or they're being sponsored to build parts of stuff that are then getting contributed. Right now, we're beta testing 4.7. You want to talk about that, Matt, sort of the process of where 4.7 is at and what people can do to help?
Yeah, so what we do is after we get through a series of bug fixes, we package up Drupal and we make it available for download, and we apply a label to it such as beta, meaning that it's still in the early stages. It shouldn't be used in a production server, but we're making it available so folks that aren't necessarily developers can test out the different aspects of a Drupal install, test out this new release candidate, and just basically bug hunt and let us know what they're finding, what they're running into, what obstacles they're encountering on their installs of this beta version. Because as we all know, there's a lot to Drupal. You know, the more eyes and people that can test it before the final release candidate, the better. And there's different ways that you can help. You can, if you're developer savvy, you can check out the Drupal patch queue on the site and review and test patches and create your own and create patches for bugs that have been identified. If you're just an end user of Drupal, like I said, you can download the release candidate and get it up and running and see what bugs you may encounter and report those back to the community.
Yeah, because there are definitely a lot of developers out there that are working on the project, but lots of times it's difficult to both find new bugs and fix them at the same time. So it's really great when we can just sort of go through the patch queue and see what people have reported. And certainly when you're reporting a bug, or even requesting a feature or something like that, the more detail that you can give, the more specific about exactly when it happens, how it happens, and all that kind of stuff can
how to recreate it.
Yes, yeah. Very important. And then certainly, like Matt said, for people that are developers out there, jump in. I'm not sure that I've been practicing what I've been preaching, but Matt has been doing a great job of that.
Not as good as some of the other people. We have Drupal developers that never sleep. I mean, if they are asleep, one hand is on the keyboard writing patches. And you know who I'm talking about, CHX. Jeff, when is Drupal 4.7 going to be released?
It's going to be released when it's done.
Good answer.
That's my understanding, at least. We should talk about how people can contribute to the podcast as well. We have an 800 number for people in the U.S. and Canada. You can dial 1-877-LULLABOT. I don't have my phone handy. What does that work out to in numbers?
877-585-5226.
Ah, nice. So you can call in, and if you have a question about Drupal, Drupal stuff, or there's issues that you'd like us to cover, leave us a message, and we'll see if we can get to it. So call and leave a message, or you can send an email to podcast@lullabot.com, and if you want to record it, you know, your voice so you can hear it on the podcast and send it along with the email, feel free to attach that as a AIF or an MP3 or a wave or whatever, what have you, or, you know, just type it out. And we'll put together our next podcast. And there's lots more to talk about. And we'll be doing interviews with people when we go to Vancouver. And we'll also invite people in via Skype or iChat. Audio to be on future podcasts, and that's it. That's the first Lullabot Drupal podcast. What'd you think, Matt?
Woohoo! We made it.
We're still working it out. Here, let me cue up the music again. It's the Lullabot theme song. Okay, take care. Bye bye. We'll see you next time.